Good morning. We're back with Heat Waves, but actually we're here today with Operation Laughter. We got Josh, Ron, and Wyatt here in the studio today, and we're going to talk to them a little bit about why they're here today. But if you guys want to say hello to the listeners right now.
Hello, I'm Ron Moore.
And here is...
Hey guys, this is Josh Novi. I am an Army veteran, so I have no idea what's happening on this base. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, welcome. Welcome to Bar Aid.
I'm Wyatt Cody. Is this mic working?
Yes, it's working. I hear
okay.
You.
Just yeah. Well, Josh went to the other mic as soon as he started talking, so I was like, oh, they give me a dud.
Well, it's because Ron handed me this mic, and I was like, I guess this is the one that Ron wants me to use.
Okay. I thought it was like when you give a kid a video game controller that's not plugged in and let him pretend he's playing. I thought that's what you were doing to me.
And we're all just, you know, sharing mics over here, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know? And if Ron, if you want to say hello again, I think the mic didn't catch you.
Okay.
Time.
Was I not? Okay.
There you go.
How's this sound?
Sounds good.
Ron Mori, yes.
Sounds great.
Okay,
sounds great.
Great
on the mic.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's great to be here. Your favorite president has shown up.
Oh, my God. He's here on base.
That's right. I love it. DJ Krizza doing a great job. No one's done a better job.
Hide your cats. Hide your dogs.
That's right. Because they're eating the cats and they're eating the dogs. Okay.
Oh, my God.
One of the reasons why I'm here.
I'm already laughing. I'm dying, actually. I'm excited for what you are all here for today. Do you want to just let everyone know what's going on base today?
Hey, so tonight at 6 p.m. in, where are we at?
The MPR room in Building 261.
We're in the National Public Radio room. Is that what it is?
Yes, currently we're at AFN, but the show will be at the MPR in Building
NPR.
261. Right.
National,
yes.
N or M, like November
M,
or Mike?
Mike.
Oh, Mike. Never mind. Okay, never mind.
NPR.
Yeah.
We're not NPR level
yet. Yeah, we're not NPR. Yeah, this is not Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
One day, though.
Yeah, we're going to do a live Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is, what am I doing here?
Yeah. Who never listened to NPR and said, one day, I'll be on there, you know?
Yeah.
If life goes the way it's according to... If it goes to my dreams, I'll be on NPR. So,
So 6 p.m. at the NPR, we will be doing Operation Laughter. We got three headlining comedians coming into town here, and we are going to be putting on a phenomenal show for you guys. And we really hope that you guys get to come out and enjoy, because I hear that you guys get to have alcohol on base.
A little bit.
That's progress.
Yes. You gotta have points and, you know, permissions, things like that. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure they're gonna have things set up. MWR really does a really good job with making a show happen. So, and food and drinks and things like that. But I wanted to get into the question of the day for today. If we all can answer it. I know we all don't know it, but what it is what is your favorite animal or activity to see at the zoo for National Wildlife Day? Anybody want to go first? How about Ron?
My favorite animal is shrimp.
Shrimp.
Yeah. You know, it travels well. You know what I mean?
Right. They just float.
Yeah.
Or and crawl down.
Yeah.
From
so
the
I
bottom.
Hope they have that over there. I don't know. But,
hopefully.
You know,
that sounds great.
I'll be looking for that too.
Okay.
I don't know.
What about you?
Well, I got, but just so you know, I love shrimp. And I always wondered if, if someone was going to eat me, I would rather be like the buffalo of the thing where a lot of people eat me. Or like, because like if a giant alien came down and was just eating, they're like, they ate one of me and they're like, I could eat 20 more of him, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about shrimp. I need to eat your whole family to be full.
Yeah, like a shrimp meal, you have to kill 50 of something.
Yeah, yeah, you have to take out a generation.
But like, yeah.
Yeah.
This is exactly where she predicted this conversation to go.
Yeah, this is what
meanwhile, it's a good time to bring up that I'm allergic to shrimp. So
oh, no.
I'm watching you guys and I'm just, I'm green with envy right now for you guys, you know. I see people eating shrimp tacos and I'm just so jealous because it looks like so much fun and you know
maybe they make fake shrimp somewhere.
You think
they do make fake shrimp, but it tastes exactly what you think it tastes like.
I wouldn't know, like tofu or something.
Yeah, it tastes like rubbery tofu.
Oh well, he wouldn't know the difference. He's never tasted shrimp in his life.
You could just tell me
kind of fake it to make it in a way, you know.
And then I could be like, I'm not missing out.
Yeah,
you know, I'm missing out like I thought I was.
It's not a bad thing. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, back to my real answer is grizzly bears. I love grizzly bears. I think they're adorable. I think they're the cutest animal in the world. And if I die trying to tickle a grizzly bear, I will have died a good death.
It'd have been worth it.
Okay,
it's great. Also the animal you remind me the most of. Like, I know you guys can't see him right now, but it's like, you know, he's a pair of pointy ears away from not being able to tell the difference.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. And thank you for sharing your answers. And I would have to say for mine, it would be, I love seeing the elephants. They're just so large and friendly looking, and I want to go on an elephant ride. I know. What do you have to say about that?
I mean, that'd be exciting.
Right?
I mean, they just called me large and friendly. Oh, no. So I gotta,
yeah, you could probably ride Josh.
Oh my God, no, we can't say that. Oh my God.
Sorry,
oh,
Simon, I'm in like a piggyback.
Yeah, he didn't mean it that way.
So we're gonna dive into this music now. We'll be right back after this break.
Is it hot in here or is it just AFN the Eagle? AFN the Eagle, serving America's best.
And we're back after the break with AFE Operation Laughter. We got Josh, Ron, and Wyatt here in the studio. So I just wanted to talk a little bit with you all about maybe some of your previous experiences, some of your other shows. Anything you want to share with us?
Yeah, we just got back from the Prince. Was it Prince Sultan?
Yeah.
Air Bay. We were just in Saudi Arabia, which was it was our third stop. I'll tell you, after it was out there in the desert, after driving 2 hours through Saudi Arabia, I understand why those people pray five times a day.
Oh my goodness.
So we went to the air base out there, and I had a bit of a misconception of what an Air Force base was going to be like. You know, I thought that everyone was going to be like a pilot, everybody that. But I like what Gen Z's done with the place, because I was asking people their jobs and thinking they were all like flying the planes, you know, but they're like, oh, I'm Kevin and I'm the on base cornhole coordinator.
Oh my goodness.
You know, they're like, I'm Chrissy and I'm in charge of choreographing the TikToks here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They're like, we're doing a dance in the DFAC at 3. So
that sounds fun. Dance.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm former Army, and then, like, you know, the Air Force base, it's a different world out there. Like, we were in the DFAC, and then Ron dropped his tray on the floor and everyone got a combat action ribbon.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy.
Just they thought something really went down. Oh, my gosh. And what was your previous experiences in the military? You said that you were prior Army.
Yeah, so I was Army, and I deployed to Iraq. I did about almost 18 months there back during the surge. I think you're probably not even born yet.
Maybe
long time ago.
Not sure.
I know people ask me all the time about, like, you know, because I'm sure people listening here, like, they get the same question, like, when you go off to war, they go like, how many people did you kill? And I'm always like, 12. I was a terrible medic.
Oh my gosh, you're a medic?
Yeah. Oh wow. So corpsman. I was a corpsman for you Navy folk.
Okay. Saving some lives, maybe.
I tried.
Okay, well, at least you tried, right? That is a very serious and, you know, big job there. Very important here in the Navy for sure. But I'm excited to look forward to your show later this evening. I'm going to stop over there. Anything you suggest or, like, any advice for people coming to maybe their first comedy show or your comedy show in particular?
No, just bring your laughs, you know, just come on out and get loose and just enjoy yourselves, because we love coming out here and thanking you all for what you do. Not just for the United States, but for countries around the world. So it's nice to just come here personally and thank everybody, shake hands afterward or whatever, and make people laugh and, you know, raise some spirits and loosen people up. You know, it's fun for us. It really is. I've been doing this since, you know, the Peloponnesian War. So these guys have been making fun of my age.
I'm a DEI hire here. Yeah.
No, when they can't get a minority or they can't, you know, get a certain gender, you go right for the oldsters. So, and I'm tired of people telling me I'm old without actually telling me I'm old. That's, you know, a little creepy, right? You know, hey, sure, you should be doing that at your age. Maybe you should hire someone, you know? I don't want to hear that in the men's room, all right? But it's fun. Yeah. I just love coming out here, and I'll keep doing it as long as I can, because we love you guys, and a lot of people back, you know, stateside, they, you know how it is. They don't appreciate us. We want to let everyone know there's certainly the majority of people do, and we like to think we represent that majority of people that really respect you and, you know, and admire you.
Definitely. So, and we appreciate you all coming out here to give us a good laugh, because, hey, you know, when you're working hard and the weeks are long, you know, sometimes we just need to laugh it off sometimes. So definitely bring that comedy today. I think that everybody will enjoy it. But what do you have to say, Josh?
I mean, I was gonna say y'all are on the water in Bahrain. I think you're okay. I think you're doing okay. You know,
yeah. I mean, yeah, that's our competition. Yeah. The water.
Yeah, our yeah.
We
our
didn't have that.
Is anything?
It's easy to beat the sand in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So Saudi Arabia, yeah, no water nearby, right?
No.
Just desert, desert.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was just gonna say, Ron's opening the show tonight, so feel free to show up 30 minutes late. And-
Oh my God. Ron, are you ready late today?
Yeah. I take the hit right up front, though. And I don't mind it because both these guys are so funny and you're going to love them. And it's just nice to do what I can to try to set them up and loosen people up, get them warmed up a little bit. I might fail sometimes in that respect, but yeah. I'm happy to jump on the grenade for these guys.
He goes, well, he's got to be in bed earlier with a warm glass of milk and a book. So yeah. That's why he goes first.
I got to take my pills.
Yeah.
You got to take your time, yeah. You know, ease us into it.
He's got to go back. He goes, got to be early to go pee 12 times a night.
Oh,
so.
My gosh. Hey, you know what? In this heat, you got to use, I'm using the head as often as I never usually do, but it's because I'm drinking a lot of water. So definitely I understand that one. And staying hydrated out here. So probably during your show, you'll see a lot of people getting up. Don't think that they're leaving. They're probably just using the head.
Oh, no, they're leaving. We're not.
My dad was in the army during Vietnam, and he still calls the bathroom the head everywhere that he goes.
I even say it at home when I'm not at work. Yeah. Or something.
Well, yeah, said it in the hospital. Well, he was in the hospital. He was on the phone with my sister, and he's like, hold on, I gotta use that. And he's telling the nurse.
And they're like, what?
He's like, hold on. He's like, I gotta use the head. They're like, what? And he's like, the head. And I'm like, Dad, you probably don't want to yell head at a nurse a bunch of times.
They're probably like, something's wrong with his head. Help. Yeah. No, I totally understand that. That's a good one. All right. So we were just talking a little bit about the show today and their previous experiences, but we will be right back right after this break.
Do not attempt to adjust your radio. We are in complete control. AFN The Eagle. Serving America's best.
And we're back after the break. I just wanted to get into it and talk with the AFE Operation Laughter here. Ron, you said that you've been here before in Bahrain. It's not your first rodeo here.
No, I was here with the USO tour in 99.
Wow. Yeah. 99.
Going back.
Party like it's 1999. That's
right.
Song.
Going way back. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So much was different back then. It was like, no, it wasn't really that different. It all came back to me as soon as we walked on base. I go, this looks like a college campus. Yeah. I love it. This feels good.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting to see different perspectives, like coming here for the very first time, like everything just looks so different. And then maybe coming back to it from before even. So,
well, it's a real base. I mean, anything's great compared to Saudi Arabia, it's still kind of a forward operating base. Essentially, we were in a tent, you know, going, this is comfy.
You're staying in the tent. No AC in there?
There was too much AC.
There was too much AC.
I brought a hoodie for the plane, and that was the first time I wore it was to sleep.
Had to wear my cardigan.
Yeah.
Wearing a cardigan is
Ron had to wear his onesie.
Yeah.
He had to wear his
I'm fat, so I was fine the whole time, actually. Yeah. I was like,
Josh was actually sweating.
Yeah,
I was like too much. There was ice on the window.
Yeah, too many comforters on my bed, honestly.
Wow. Was there tall ceilings in the tent, or was it like really like tiny on the outside?
It's kind of, I mean, it was like a Quonset hut type thing, you know,
like glamping. What is it called?
Not a yurt. It wasn't a yurt.
Okay.
It was a roundish, like a half circle shape.
A half
tent.
Circle. Okay. Yeah.
It was a little bit bigger than the tent. The tour manager has me sleeping in outside of the hotel on this one.
I think my favorite part about this whole interview is us explaining to a military personnel what a military tent looks like.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
and talking about how difficult it was.
Yeah.
Like it was too cold in the tent, you know.
Was it the woes cold? Of was
I know you've fought wars in the Middle East, but you know our tent was too cold. Yeah. So bring the empathy tonight, you guys.
Yeah. Talk about some problems there.
Yeah.
I
mean,
I had to put my hoodie on to go to sleep.
If only there was more quilts, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's hilarious.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, also, of course, you know, military people know about this on these types of bases where, you know, you get up at the middle of the night to pee and the latrine is about 150 yards away or whatever. Oh, and for me, as an old guy, I'm getting my steps in overnight.
I was going to say, Ron, I was wondering why he lost 30 pounds.
Right. Yeah.
In one night.
All of this just on that base.
Just sweating it off while you're walking to the urinal.
Right.
Yeah.
The latrine, the head, whatever you call it. Did you see any creatures out there while you're walking out in the middle
I think
of
a
the
cat.
Desert?
That was it, right? Just like a cat? A base cat, whatever?
No. I can't tell you. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
I think even the creatures saw Saudi Arabia and were like, I'm going to pass.
No, I can't tell you what happened because they told us that there was a cat problem, but now there's no longer a cat problem. Is
I wonder
what
why
happened.
That.
No, they told us what happened, but we're not going to share that on air because that's just real sad. Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay, don't worry, I don't want to hear about it, but we have a lot of cats here on base, actually.
Yeah, which is totally fine. Well, apparently you guys have a lot of rats as well.
Right, the cats eat the rats.
Yeah, cats eat the rats, so, and the dogs eat the cats, right, and then the people eat the cats and the dogs.
Oh, no.
It's the whole food chain. It says not to talk about that on the radio, Josh.
Sorry about that.
Just kidding.
But yeah, so definitely. I've never been to Saudi Arabia.
You can skip it.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can skip it.
Fine. You're okay.
You've heard of flyover states. Get ready for a flyover country.
Yeah.
Just fly over the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we stop by, say hi. Actually, a lot of people from there visit here on the weekends. They come on Fridays or Saturdays or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it's always packed over here on the weekends because they're visit. Mm-hmm. It's like 45-minute drive or I don't know. Some people.
Who would ever want to leave?
Yeah.
I know. They just love it here. But anyways, we're going to talk a little bit more about maybe just your experience, how you even started comedy. I'm curious about a little bit about that. And we can talk about that.
Right. Well,
Ron, you wanna start?
I started in vaudeville. And I started in Arizona. I was actually
is that a place that doesn't exist anymore, right, like the Ottoman Empire?
Yeah. Exactly.
Ron started stand up in Mesopotamia.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I started in Arizona. I was actually writing for friends of mine. You know, I was going to night school, studying engineering. And then eventually they just told me, hey, because they were kind of screwing up the jokes. I said, you got to do this word before this word or whatever. And they just go, you know what? You should be doing it anyway. And so they kind of pushed me on stage, whatever. And I already knew the managers of the clubs and stuff like that because I was hanging out when I'd get out of school and see if the jokes were working. Mm-hmm. That's what got me into it. And then I've just kept doing it. Love it. And great to work with great people. And so, yeah, especially these shows, happy to do them. That's
definitely.
Yeah. So anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah. When I was a medic, you know, we would have bad days over in Iraq. And, and I just found at the end of these bad days, like I could be like a little bit of a light to people. And so we'd sit in the smoke pit and I'd, you know, start goofing off and roasting people. And then there'd be like two people and then four people and then 40 people like around me. And it's just, you know, like I remember like they would come up to me, like they'd be like, you have got to do something with this talent because you're a terrible soldier. You have to. You need to get out of the army. And
wow.
And then, I did. So, and then, so I did my, but yeah, anyways, that was supposed to be funnier than you gave it.
Oh my God. That's fine. Well, I mean, you were better at making people laugh than a soldier.
Really,
and you found your calling, and I thought that was pretty cool. But someone saw that in you. And sometimes it takes someone else outside of us to see our best, you know, qualities, right?
Yeah.
That we don't even see for ourselves. Like sometimes I'm like, I'm okay DJ sometimes.
You know,
some days
to paraphrase
I have a bad day. Then I have a really good day. And I'm like, really? I don't believe it. It's like imposter syndrome or something.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's like that to paraphrase an old joke that you've never heard. If enough people call you a horse, it's time to buy a saddle.
Yeah.
Then you're like, okay, fine. I give up. I'll just do it.
Yeah.
Just go with it and see how it goes.
Yeah.
There you go. And then write it out until, you know, wherever it takes you, wherever the wind takes you.
What about you, Wyatt?
How did this all start?
Well, I actually have vaguely similar. So, I've always wanted to be a comedian since I was a little kid, like since I knew what a comedian was in the 90s when I was watching Seinfeld with my family, and I always thought it was so cool. And then, when I was in high school, I was sent away. I got institutionalized. I was sent to a troubled teen treatment center. So I was in a lockdown treatment center in Utah for nearly a year when I was 15, 16 years old. And I had a similar thing to Josh, was we're in a bad situation. And that's where I really brought out the, like, my,
ability to make a crowd laugh because we would have group therapy sessions. And so I would always be chiming. My goal was to always just crack jokes whenever I could. And that's, yeah, it was the same thing. A lot of people were like, told me that you should, you know, that I should be a stand-up comedian one day. And I was like, that's kind of what I've always wanted to be. And so, yeah, I started doing stand-up when I was college age, my early 20s. And it's really the only career I've ever known. I worked other jobs, of course, for several years before I could make a living off of this. But yeah, I didn't have any like other sort of career. I was just like Uber driving. I was a valet parker. I also worked for David Lee Roth, the Van Halen singer. I was his errand boy.
Discuss or promote religious content, please. Okay. Actually, what Wyatt doesn't realize is that he's actually still institutionalized. This is all a hallucination of his mind.
Oh my goodness.
Whatever. I'm having fun.
So. Yeah. Hey, as long as you're having fun and doing what you love, that's important. But we're going to jump back into this conversation right after this break.
AFM The Eagle. Don't like it? Try it with ketchup. Serving America's best.
And we're back after the break here with AFE Operation Laughter. We got Josh, Ron, and Wyatt here in the studio. And I just wanted to ask if we could talk a little bit about comedy, how that benefits people. How do you light up a room in a dark place?
Yeah, well, that's one of the greatest things about comedy, not just stand-up comedy, but comedy in life in general. I mean, you all in the military have plenty of funny people who... that's great for morale, esprit de corps. These kinds of things keep people's spirits up, you know, in tough times or whatever. And everybody can do it throughout life or whatever. If you feel that someone's down or whatever, make them laugh. Try to make it without touching them or giving them a pill or an injection. You totally change their state. So it's a great thing. We just happen to have put things together to be able to do that in front of complete strangers. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing better, you know, I think that all humans can do to kind of raise each other's spirits is to just try to make someone laugh instead of trying to dramatize things and get attention for yourself, right. Which is kind of the default in a lot of people, right? It's like, oh, feel sorry for me. I'm a victim. They'll play the victim. It's a sign of strength to rise above because you can't feel scared or terrified or angry or any of that stuff while you're laughing or making other people laugh.
Yeah, right? It's a beautiful thing and a great gift to have.
Yeah, those feelings can't coexist. So you don't have to be a stand-up to do that because there are comedians everywhere in life in different jobs. We just happen to try to express that sort of archetype in the form of a stand-up comic. So, you know, I can't talk enough positive things about it because it's a great thing.
No,
you know?
For sure. What is your favorite comedian?
My favorite, I always say my dad was my, because he was in the military guy. So he was a funny guy. He was the funny guy, you know, in his squadron. Really? He was in the Air Force for 20 years. And my first influence before I could even really knew what was going on, just observing how he made my mom laugh and people around him by making fun of himself. It was like, oh, you know, I didn't get it then, but later on in life, I go, wow, that's what he was doing, is he would sense that my mom was depressed and maybe crying about bills and stuff like that. And he could just make her laugh, going from completely crestfallen and depressed to, she's laughing. it hit me, you know, and so I just kept following that, I think. You know?
Oh, okay.
So it had that kind of impression on me.
It's a generational, genetic, you know.
Yeah, I just think.
Family
I think,
thing there.
Well, I think some people, it's like music. Some people are, they come from a musical family, you know. And I think some people come from sort of a humorous family. So you are able to tap into that part of your mind and your spirit or whatever a little easier than other people. But everyone can do it if they cultivate it. And I think everyone should cultivate a certain amount of sense of humor because, you know, it'll keep you going. I think it'll help you live a longer life too.
Oh no, yeah. Laughing, what did it say? A laugh a day keeps the doc away.
Right, like exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Definitely. What's your favorite?
I just want you to know, I just heard from the Navy, they disagree with you. They don't want anyone to be funny. They said no. Yeah. They said no, actually.
Be serious.
So I mean, it's the same. So laughter has the same physiological response as a good cry does. And so some of us are emotionally unavailable and I don't know how to cry. So I might as well laugh. And
might as well.
But on your other one, like, you know, people ask this question all the time, like, who's your favorite comedian? And, you know, I always my generally it's Lavelle Crawford. I love, he's like one of my favorites in the world. You have no idea who he is. Cause
probably not. I'm sorry. I'll have to look him up after.
But I'll tell you, like, working with Ron and Wyatt has been such a blessing because you get to, you know, really experience different things. Like, I think Wyatt, his joke structure and his joke telling is so, you know, above par. I would say even the Eagle is how it is. Nah, nobody. Yeah. Okay,
the Eagle. Okay. The Eagle.
That's right. Below par. No, well, we got to teach this guy how golf works.
It's better. The Eagle is better than par.
Above par. Oh, so I'm shooting triple bogeys here.
Par. Now I just you're realized below we're par. Using golf terms, and
yeah.
I'm just.
I was
like,
gonna say,
what's going
yeah,
on
that's
here?
Funny.
If you're in the Navy, you should know how to golf.
Just a little bit. Maybe.
And then, like Ron, I was telling Ron yesterday, like I was watching him on stage, and I was like, Ron has like this whimsical sense about him on stage, and I think that that's something that I don't want to say I envy, but I think that's very important. And I think that it's interesting and it's important for me to watch other comedians and be able to see like what they're really, really good at. Cause I'm terrible and I'm not good and I don't know why I'm here. So,
no. Hey, you know,
no, Josh is great. Yeah. This, no one's going to be disappointed in this show. It's really a lot of fun. So we recommend that everybody, if they can come on out.
Yeah,
and,
definitely. Tell your friends, tell your family. Come on over.
Come out to the NPR.
Yeah. NPR today at 6 p.m. If you forgot, if you didn't hear earlier. And,
or 1800.
Or 1800.
If you speak military.
Right.
But apparently you're in the Navy, so nobody speaks military. So I don't know what's going on here.
We do a little mix of both. It's okay. Like Spanglish, you know English and Spanish. You kind of do a little bit both.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I'm kind of on the side of telling everyone like normal, like this is the time. And then also I got to tell my military personnel. So it's a mix of both.
Yeah.
So kind of like, hola, how are you?
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Por qué? Why?
And I'm Spanglish because I'm Mexican American. And let's not get into jokes about that right now. But yeah. Wyatt, did you have anything to say about, comedy?
You know.
Why it's a good thing? And
yeah,
your favorite
comedian. I know Ron mentioned bringing light to a dark room, which is a perfect. He's been doing that for a long time because he actually discovered fire. And
you're so, the one that created that.
He's like, I walked right into that one. So yeah, we've been making. I know he said we've been making. That's what he introduces me, and I say, give it up for Ron. He's been entertaining our troops since the Revolutionary War. So.
long time.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we get very hung up on being the comedy is very competitive, so we're very hung up on being the funniest, but then I think we kind of forget that the people, the audience is kind of like we live to laugh, like with it's like what's life without it, you know. So
life
I think
have to be too serious all the time.
Yeah, I think that we can have more of an impact than we realize. Like we're just trying to have fun and but you know, I recently reconnected with an old friend from the place I got sent away to in high school. I haven't seen her in 18 years.
Wow.
And I was doing a show in the city that she now lives in, and so she came out and. You know, it was a show with like there was probably like six comics on it, and she comes out to me after with like tears in her eyes, and she's like, "Oh man, this is like thank you for like reconnecting me with like my love of live comedy. Like I haven't been to a show in such a long time, and I'm gonna come to this every week now because I realize just how much I love it." And I had a show afterwards. Someone slipped me a note and then just walked away. And I read the note and it said, I had chemo earlier today, my first round of chemo earlier today. And I wasn't going to come out to the show tonight, but I decided to. And you made it worth the trip.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, whenever someone slips me a note, it's always the letters are always cut out of magazines.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you want your family back, give us this X amount of money. And I'm like, so I'm on multiple families now, but that's no, No, but why it's right. Like, it happens to all of us that someone come up with like, hey, I haven't laughed in a year because X, Y, Z or whatever it is. And right. And I think that's the best part of the job.
Yep. And it reminds you of your why, your purpose, why you do it. Yeah. And I think everybody, even you three, bring something different to the table like any other comedian. So I wouldn't compare yourself because you're you and no one could be you. Right. And also, you have your own stories. You're your own storyteller. So you have some other stories other comedians don't have. So your comedy can never be like exactly the same as someone else's, right? Yeah. Because we all have different lives, experiences, backgrounds, and probably went through some pain in our lives because to be a comedian, I feel like you have to understand the darkness a little bit in some aspect to kind of bring that light because we all want that light in our lives too. So funny is being funny and sharing jokes is also healing for yourselves. It's not just for others, it's for you. And I think it's such a great thing. But we'll get into it a little bit more right after this break.
Our music is so hot, you might break out in a sweat. AFM The Eagle, serving America's best.
And we're back after the break. By the way, sorry, we're having a little bit of a conversation. But we're back to talk about the
show.
We're back.
John
Wyatt, you know, here in the studio. We got a little segued off a little bit. We're talking about, what were we talking about?
Our tour manager. Right. They want to do an impression. Wyatt, I will bury you in the middle of the desert, okay? You know, I have friends with baseball bats, Wyatt. Do you enjoy your knees? Do you enjoy having working knees, okay? It's on the itinerary, Wyatt. 6:45 in the lobby, passport in hand, okay? Wyatt, you make me want to retire early, all right?
She's done.
He's talking about Pat, our tour manager.
Pat Wilson. And if you're Pat into Wilson. Getting into comedy, her email address for booking is.
Yeah.
Put it all out there.
She's always booking everyone.
Stop giving out my email address. Okay? I got open micers trying to headline casinos, Wyatt. I backed up.
Too much.
Pat, do you want to hop in?
Pat just probably has the best time.
She said,
with
you guys are the show.
Yeah,
all right. Wyatt, I don't get on stage. All right. I get enough attention drinking Bud Light in the New Orleans bars. All right. I don't need any more of you trying to get at me. Okay. Pat loves she loves a good Bud Light.
She likes Bud Light, red wine,
and coffee. Not until I've had my coffee, Wyatt.
My third cup.
Three cups.
Hey, you know, I understand. I totally understand the coffee thing. I say like one, two, three cups a day.
I say morning. She goes, nope. Is this my third cup, Wyatt?
You have to wait till the third cup's done. Then you ask. There you go. Yeah. I understand. Can you understand that I start my show without any coffee? I have to like start and then wait for my coffee. And then I'm like, okay, now I can really, really start. But
Wait, does somebody deliver your coffee? Yeah.
So I know that sounds crazy.
You just made it sound like, I have the worst life in the world.
So American Bagel here on base actually does deliver my iced coffee. And I do it so much that they know me.
Pat nearly just fell out of her chair when she heard, you have to have your coffee delivered. You know what?
Well, I'd
buy my own Starbucks and put it in the office. I'd invest in a franchise right here in the house. The office.
Yeah.
I'd have a man with large muscles prepare it for me. I have three cups ready as soon as I walk in. Be like, this better come with a damn back rub, okay?
No, they should make coffee shops like spa shops, like spa services. Like you get your massage and then you have your coffee and then you get another coffee. Like, right? I'm just saying. And then you're like, well, it's that hour. You know what time it is. It's not for coffee, but something else maybe. So definitely I like the mixture there. But I'm like,
I'm like, good morning, Pat. She's like, it's a good morning when I wake up in the Bahamas and I'm retired, Wyatt, and I don't have to deal with you anymore.
That's when you know you're really retired. You're like, I'm in the Bahamas right now and I'm not being called to do anything. No one's asking anything of me. When no one can ask you for anything, you're like, okay, I did everything that I had to do then. Right. But we are going to come to a close of the show today. Thank you for all being here and telling all our listeners, like, who you are and why you're here today.
Thank you, DJ Krizza. Oh, it's been welcome. Great to be here at 106.3. There's no one better on the radio. Thank you for what you do.
I was just going to say, I realize you sound like someone I know. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we all know who he sounds like. We're not going to say. And Josh Novy, follow us on our Instagrams. If you can't come out to the show tonight, look up Josh Novy, N-O-V-E-Y. I'll look up, for me, Fat Veteran. You'll find me. But we really hope to see everyone at 6 p.m. at the NPR tonight. I'm not saying that there's a raffle. I'm not saying there's a raffle.
Oh, so there might be one.
No, there's not a raffle.
Okay, there's not.
But I'm also not saying. I'm literally not saying there's a raffle.
Okay, got it.
And this actually is Pat Wilson finally jumping onto the microphone. And I'm just saying, if you want to meet who Wyatt spent doing the perfect impression of this entire time, those are exactly words that I've said all week. I will be at the show tonight, too. I don't do stand-up because I don't crave attention like some of these losers I have to deal with. But I will be there to hand out whatever remaining autograph cards I didn't slap Wyatt with. Okay?
Oh, my goodness. So definitely come out today. She's getting slapped. He's getting slapped by paper right now. But yes, definitely come out tonight. You don't want to miss out on this show. Remember NPR at 6 p.m. We'll see you there.